Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Jesus, you're so faithful to disappoint me. You've proven yourself in my life, and I've come to realize you're so faithful to care.
to worship Him. The Bible declares that we are to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. I want every hand lifted. If you want to close your eyes, go ahead and close them. But I want you to focus upon Jesus now. For He alone is worthy to be worshipped and worthy to be adored. Can I get an amen on that? Can I get an amen on that? The Bible records in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 11. It says, when the wise men came to the place where baby Jesus was, it says, when they saw Him, they fell down and worshipped Him. Everybody say, fell down. They bowed down and they worshipped Him. And the scripture says, and then their treasures were opened. And they presented unto Him gifts. And therein is a glorious revelation of the Spirit. And it is this, that when you and I will humble ourselves and begin to worship, the treasure that is in this earthen vessel begins to open up. Somebody say yes. And the gifts of the Spirit of God that are within us begin to flow. I believe that we will worship God with our whole heart, our whole spirit and soul. God's presence and power will begin to move in this place. People can be healed and delivered even while we're worshiping and recording. Does anybody believe that with me? I want you to lift up your hands now and begin to lift up your voices. That's right. Just begin to open your own mouth and begin to worship Him. Out of your spirit, just begin to bless His holy name. If He's done anything, just begin to worship. Just begin to worship. That's right. Begin to worship. Give the bless His name. Give the bless His name. Come on and bless His name. Bow down and worship Him. Worship Him. Bow down and worship Him. Give Him joy. Oh, it's a I'm
Hallelujah. We call you. It's awesome. That separates. No.
I wanna be
in your presence.
Right there in your presence, Jesus. I wanna be right there in your presence. I wanna be right there with your face, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you. God, for
your apostle,
for
your
bishop,
bishop,
your bishop,
and
there's some kind of disturbance in the line, Apostle.
Well, praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for what you're about to do today, what you have done already, and what you're about to do. We ask, O God, that you would use your bishop and your apostle to glorify your name, to edify your body, and terrify the devil. Lord, we pray today that you would touch their eyes, their ears, and their lips of clay. Lord, allow them to take their time and do what thus says the Lord. Let it be none of them but all of you, God. And Father God, we pray even right now as they decrease that you would increase. Touch the hearts and minds of your people, near and far, all over the world. Lord, that they may receive your word, O God, with gladness, O God, not just hear it, receive it, but activate it in their daily ministry. As they go forth each day, God, they will proclaim you as Lord and Savior. And Lord God, they will tell the world who you are. Lord, we ask, O God, as you have saturated the atmosphere already with the praise and worship, and sterilize the atmosphere, moving every satanic, every demonic, every sorcerer, every warlock and witch, and everyone that would try to hinder the word, you have shift them out of this zone, God. Lord, allow your preachers to come and your ministers, your ambassadors to come on in right now and declare your truths. In Jesus' holy name we have prayed. Come on in, Bishop. Come on in, Apostle. And let the Lord use you. I'm going to go on mute. Come on in.
Praise the Lord. Glory to his holy name.
Praise the Lord.
Good day to you, Holy Father. Good day to everyone on the line. Apostle, to you, our gracious host. We thank God that everyone is doing well as far as we know. Everyone that comes on Block Talk Radio is doing fine. There were no messages saying that anyone was ill or if anyone had crossed over. Praise the Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus, for this brand new day. So, Father, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. Apostle.
Praise the Lord. You're grateful to be here. We're excited about the word of God as usual. It's always a pleasure to bring his word. As he speaks to us, we release it as he speaks to us. We are not the teachers. We are not the preachers. It is the Lord God Almighty himself. Amen. And we just thank God that he would even use us, hallelujah, to bring forth his word. Amen. Glory to God. Today we will be in the book of First Kings, and there will be lots of other scripture. However, I know there will be a part two, perhaps even a three, because there's so much on this subject. Glory be to God. And I have some place to go today, so let's get right on with the word. I will have to be off the line by at least 11:45, so I will ask Apostle if Bishop would be able to bring the prayer of salvation a little bit earlier, because I have something very important to get done today.
That's okay, Apostle. That is okay.
All right. Amen. So it's not more important than the word of God, but, you know, that's why we still knew we had to be here today regardless to what it was that we had to do. So praise God. We do God's word. And let's get started. The topic would be training days. As saints of God, we are always going to be in training as long as we're down here, because we will never get enough of God. It will never be enough. We get enough for the day. We get enough for our time, for the time that we're spending with God. God gives us what he wants to give us, but nevertheless, we will always have training days in the Lord. Hallelujah. And so I thank God for it. We all need it. I know I do. I need it. And we're going to be talking about the prophet Elijah. And he did many great things through the Spirit of God. It was not Elijah. It was one that was used by God. And that's the way it is. When we're used by God, it is God that's doing the work. It's not us. We're just a vessel. Amen. Glory to God. So that being said, again, I say the topic is training days. Elijah is a prophet, but he still gets more training along the way. Amen. And I know we all will if we would just submit and be totally committed to God. We are going to receive more and more training as we go along in ministry. Amen. Praise God. So let's go to the word right now. We're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 17. Some people consider Elijah to be one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. He predicts the drought. He's not out to make any, try to be popular or make popular speeches or gain friends in high places. And this is the mindset we ought to have. This is all about God. It's not about us, not about trying to please the people, but giving them what God has given to us in our spirit. Elijah speaks to the people. When God spoke to him, he spoke to the people. God plus one equals the majority. Amen. Actually, God is the majority. Amen. Hallelujah. So the prophet Elijah knew about idolatry. That's also in this mm-hmm. chapter 17. He knows about idolatry, the idolatry of Israel, the wickedness of King Ahab. He knew the time for judgment had arrived, and he also knew that drought and famine were about to devastate Israel. He knew because he himself had announced God's judgment. God gave it to the prophet first. This all took place during a very sad time in the history of Israel. And haven't we read so much about sad times for the people of Israel because of disobedience to God, when the people had all but turned their backs on God and their king had sinned against the Lord openly and boldly? He sinned. Elijah, consumed with holy indignation, he prayed that it might not rain in Israel. And for more than 3 years, not a drop of rain fell. Streams dried up, crops failed, and people starved. Oh, God. Later, all alone, the prophet stood on Mount Carmel among 450 prophets of Baal. or Baal, giving the people visual proof of the impotence of their ways. It was impotent. It had no power. That's what impotence is. These people who prayed to these gods, those gods had no power. So he proved how impotent, how not powerful at all that it was, and that God is all powerful. So Elijah called fire down from the heaven and then directed the execution of Baal's priest, or some people say Baal, but I believe it's Baal's priest. So it took courage for this man all by himself, him and God. He wasn't by himself, of course, but he had to stand before these wicked people and declare the word of God and show them. God showed them who God was. God showed up, hallelujah, because Elijah was a man of God, trained by God, and he will get more training. There's more training to come, amen? So let's get right to it. I would ask my bishop here, Pastor James, to talk a little bit about when he was in the military and the training that he received. You see, because we are soldiers in the army of the Lord, and Elijah was a soldier. He was a saint of God, a prophet, a saint of God, a soldier in the army. Soldiers have to be trained. Soldiers have to be trained to know how to fight, to know how to maintain what it is that they have to do to be, you know, just to be solid. To be solid as a rock, glory be to God. Solid in the rock, in the thing, solid in that, I mean, that we know what we've been trained to do and we have to execute as we were trained. Amen. That means solid. That solid is a rock to me. That's what comes to me right now. But so we can say that Bishop was in boot camp. Boot camp is tough. And he can talk to you about some of his experiences while he was in the military as he served. And I know it's a place that he well remember, you know, and I remember so much about my walk with God and my learning experiences with the Lord. And it has been for my benefit, even those hard times, even those times, you know, when things wasn't looking so great, wasn't feeling so great. But nevertheless, I knew that I was with God, and I knew that he would never leave me. So, Bishop, would you just kind of talk a little bit about your experience? We're not going to be long before you today, but we have a lot to say in this little bit of time that we have. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. And I know Apostle will continue on with this even after we are done. Amen. Yes, sir.
Basically, it's funny I said that basically because it's basic training.
Yes.
When you go into the military, things are totally different than civilian life. Now, it's claimed by all the other branches of the military that the Air Force, which I was in the Air Force, is supposed to have the easiest training. So God help those who are in the Army and specialized units. You see, if you get in a specialized unit, I don't care if it's the Boy Scouts, you always have something further to learn.
Yeah.
Now, fortunately, yeah, I was headed for the Marine Corps, and the Air Force Sergeant stopped me and lied to me as an 18-year-old kid. And, that's one trick that they have. The recruiters, they paint a beautiful picture to you. And it's like if somebody paints a beautiful portrait. And when you get to where the showing is, somebody has thrown mud on it. And now you can't see the beauty of it for weeks on end. You know, I was never in my life ridiculed so much. Now, Air Force, as I said, was supposed to be the easiest branch. I got there. It must have been about after 9 that night by the time I got to the air base in right outside of San Antonio, but it's on the outskirts. And you could hear no noise, none, only in the dining hall. The first thing they do is take you to eat. You go through that, and there's signs all over. Silence. Take what you want, but eat what you take. Right from the beginning, I saw people. Let me back up here. They brought us to an orientation, which lasted about about an hour, and they told you different things that would be expected of you. Then they brought you to supply, where you were issued a duffel bag and every uniform and pair of shoes that you were to wear. They told us, take your, it was very cold. Don't let anybody lie to you and tell you that Texas don't get cold, all right? I went on the 28th of November, and the morning of the 29th, when we got to the barracks, there was ice on the floor of the barracks. No heater had been turned on. They told us hey, go to the supply. Now you have to carry all these duffel bags with you. And me and a friend of mine, he became my friend at that time. We left New Orleans together. So it was three of us that left, and the other guy was with us, and he was made a squad leader when we first got there. So he had to issue out orders. Anyway, the instructors told us, I need two volunteers, and they pointed at you and you. I need two volunteers, you and you. Okay? He says, I have 64 duffel bags, and I want them stacked in military order in 15 seconds. It takes you 15 seconds to pick up two of those bags, put one next to the other. 15 seconds. He wants 64 of them done in 15 seconds. What is military order? You're in a ball of confusion. You don't know. And then they're telling you, do this, do that, do the other, do this, do that. And continually, every day, was basically the same thing. We got in the barracks, and they told us that we would be, and we would have, we're going to wake you up, but we're going to let you sleep a while because you got here so late. So about 4:30, the lights came on, blew a whistle, and if you want to upset a group of males, do what the instructor did. They cause you problems. They want you to understand we are running this show, and you're going to run it the way we are going to do it the way we run it. If you don't, there's consequences to pay. And so it'd be the same thing in our lives. God has rules. God has regulations. And when you think about it, they were nice to us. Oh, we got fed every day. So that part was good. We had a place to sleep sometimes, but we got to the barracks about 3:30, 4:00 somewhat in that area. And at 4:30, the lights pop on and they wake you up screaming, blowing whistles, screaming, popping lights on, flashing them, get up, ladies. You want to upset a group of men, tell them get up, ladies. Okay, they start you off, and then it was, okay, we got 10 minutes. You have to make up your bunk, be dressed, and be in the streets in 10 minutes out in formation. We don't know. We're trying to make a bed, get your beds made, get your bunks made, okay? And from that point on, it was just continually training. Things that they taught us last week, week before they taught us. And then that week they were teaching us some of the same stuff over and over. So be it with the word of God. You have to continually study to show yourself approved. I knew a little bit about military because I was in ROTC when I was at Southern University. But that wasn't a long span of time, and it's not disciplined like being in the actual military. But I just had a natural act for marching. So fine, they put me in a position that I was marching, and I made one wrong move. And the instructor told me, he says, that's the last wrong move. Now you know what to do. If you do that again, you will be somewhere else in the ranks with everybody else. I was called the guide on. I carried the flag for the unit, column movement, which is right or left or whatever. And I did, you know, I turned to the right, and I was supposed to make a full step. I made a half step because you go into the half step after. I made a half step to start. He kicked me in my hind quarter and made me do 50 push-ups and send me to the back of the group. And from then on, it was, you know, hey, I'm going to be on you like a saddle on a horse. Every time you move, I'm going to ride you. You know, and that's what he did. And then to make matters worse, when I went to tech school, we was under one former Marine and one airborne Ranger. The Army Airborne. And it just, you know, it's just training. So be it with the word of God. Training, training, training. And, you know, they say you get adjusted. I was 4 years and a couple of months, and I still wasn't adjusted to everything because it changes, but it never changes. You're constantly training. That's the point. So here you go, Apostle. That, you know, I just went on board with it.
No, you did what you want.
Yeah.
What you want.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Saying that it was a time of brutal discipline.
Yes.
It was brutal.
Yes.
Unending work. Regimented training. Fear. Loneliness.
Yes, you never know.
Because you don't know when you're going to have to go out and fight. You don't know what they're going to tell you to do. You just don't know. And
that's from day to day.
But they are preparing you for what you may. They're preparing you for what you may have to encounter. So this is what God does. This is what he was doing with Elijah. This is what he's doing. Now, Elijah is an established prophet by the book of 17. He's established, but yet he still needs more training. Hallelujah. Because God Almighty is not finished with us.
Oh,
glory to God.
No,
he said he would complete the work he starts in us, and we're not complete until we leave here.
Praise
Amen.
God.
So it is in boot camp that that soldiers are born. In that training, a soldier is born. Hallelujah. And how wonderful it is. You know, we look at the soldiers, and when they come home and they're dressed up in their uniforms, and we look at how handsome they look, and everything is in place. Everything is in place. It's so beautiful to look at them, and they look so beautiful.
And
they look so handsome in those uniforms.
If you think we're just telling you this, look at your buddies that haven't been in. When you go home and you dress, and they dress, look at you all in line. Your shirt.
Yeah, your belt buckle.
Belt buckle, everything is in
everything.
Line.
The belt buckle is in line with the zipper.
Uh huh.
If everything is in order,
and
this is what God wants to teach us, that we must live a life of order. We got to have some order. God won't have it any other way. We got to walk in the order of the Word of God. Walking in that order as we are supposed to be ambassadors for God. We are supposed to be those of the royal priesthood. So therefore we need to be together at all times. We never should ever be unprepared. God will prepare us. Amen. If we would just listen and spend time with God. And so it was fear, it was loneliness. James has to be, the soldiers have to leave home, and you're always going to go to a state that you're not from.
Sure.
You're not going to be in the same state that you lived in. For sure, right. For sure, they're going to send you someplace else. So God commands this soldier, this prophet, that he must leave. He must go away. Hallelujah. He tells him, Elijah 17, verses 2, he tells him, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here. Okay. Turn eastward and hide in Kareth Ravine. east of the Jordan, and you will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there.
Praise the Lord.
So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to Kereth Ravine, or Ravine, and it's east of the Jordan, and he stayed there. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. He drank from the brook. He ate well, and he drank well. Keep in mind, there's his route now. But God got his prophet well taken care of. Amen? Doing something out of the ordinary. Isn't that just like God? That is just like our God to have a raven to defy the law of nature. That's not what ravens do. Ravens eat dead things.
Ravens?
Not ravens. The vultures. But, yeah.
But ravens. Ravens are very smart animals.
They are, but that's eat. That. God still, they don't feed humans.
They don't
feed humans.
No. I have your meaning now.
Yeah, okay. God, we don't have much time. Let's move on. So the author of Ecclesiastes, we're going to go to Solomon a little bit. He was a man who had everything. And, I mean, luxurious abundance, Bishop.
Man.
He lived where he was, you know, he was admired by so many. Problems of the world, he saw the reality of it all.
It's all vanity.
And when you look at what Elijah faced, or like what we face today, there's much pain, there's frustration, troubled hearts. Many of our expectations are just cut off. And the sense of chasing the wind is magnified many times over, is what Solomon will talk about. So many sad things happen in the world. Hallelujah. It's the truth. And unfortunately, some people don't take it very well because we don't have God in our lives. We have to have God to live in this day and time filled with so many imaginary things. We watch movies that are not true stories. They're imaginary. The actors are acting. We line up at the movie theaters to watch fiction, to watch people acting out something that's not even really happening. We look at sci-fi movies, and it's just not reality, you see.
Fiction.
It's fiction. It's science fiction. So we also experience this virtual reality, y'all. And it seems so real, but it isn't. When we turn to the Word of God, we are brought face to face with reality. My God. And it's contrary to what the naysayers are always saying. Scripture is not a myth or a bunch of tales. No way. It's the Word of God. Everything that's happened in this word is true. Every one of the experiences of people of God actually happened. God will not allow anything to be printed that's a lie. Not from his Bible, from his word. Amen? The scripture is not a bunch of tales. It's a reality. Realities that teach us about our living God. Our teacher, our rabbi, the Most High God, and he teaches us about the fallen mankind living in a fallen world. When they fell in the garden, everything fell. Hallelujah. Nowhere in all the books is it clearer and in the book of the Bible about life. It's very clear in the Word of God. And this preacher of wisdom gives us a lot of insight. And we will find there won't be any imaginary characters in the book of the Word of God. Not one. Solomon gives us the truth about what life is like on this earth. That's one of your favorite books, isn't it, Bishop?
Mm-hmm.
He shows us what life is like under the sun. It's like chasing after the wind, a phrase that is found 8 times in this book. That's profound to me. What is life under the sun? It is life without God, without the living God. Life that fails to go beyond the sun into the heavenly. We can't do that. Into the realities of God's revelation. This is what a great writer wrote. Writing about God. Writing about the realities of life. This is Solomon. We have a raggedy, raggedy world out there. The earth is raggedy. It's beautiful, but it's raggedy because we got people who don't believe in God. The world is lost. Amen? And it's sad what goes on in the world. There are so many bad things, and we know that it goes without saying. So if we look around us, we can see there's so many fantasies that goes on. Many people live in a fantasy world, believing all the wrong things. Believing lies when it's the truth. Believing that the truth is a lie and the lie is the truth. That's fantasy. It's downright scary. Drug abuse. Because people want to escape reality. Sleepless nights because we worry. We get headaches. There's hatred. There's rape. People get assaulted all the time. There's jail sentences. All these things are horrid. It's sickness, it's sorrow, broken lives. Many minds are sick and disturbed. Mental illness is prevalent today, so prevalent. So mainly as Solomon has discovered this long ago, it's empty. What he's saying is it's empty. It's futile. There's nothing down here under the sun that will give us, you and me, a sense of lasting satisfaction. There's nothing in this world that's going to give us lasting satisfaction. It is planned that way. Why do you say that, Apostle? Why? Because there's a void in us without God. We have to realize our need for the living God. There's a void without him. I don't care how good your professional practice is, how much of it is so good for you. I don't care how big your house is or how exciting your future is. I don't care about how hard you work or how large your paycheck is or how sincere your efforts are in doing the right thing. And most of the time it ends up being all wrong when we're going on our own mindset, Bishop. When you get right down to it, the bottom line is when the lights are off, you're back to reality. It's boring. It's horribly empty without God.
That's right.
What Solomon is saying.
Right.
Chasing the wind. Can you ever catch up with the wind? Can you grasp it? You can't see it. You can't grab it. You will never, ever catch up with the wind. So you work so that you can make money, so you can spend it, so that you can work and make more money, so that you can spend it, so that you can get more, which will mean you spend more, you work harder to make more. Isn't it that when we get extra money, we find more stuff to buy? We don't think about investing it all the time, number one, in the Word of God, in the kingdom, or even into the stock market where you could turn over some money if you got the right stock. But when you take stock in the Word of God, you always get a return. Hey, you never lose with the Word of God. When you sow into the Word, when you sow yourself into the word, you will grow. God will teach us, and we will grow, and we will go to new dimensions in God. We will have new beginnings in God, but we must sow ourselves. We got to be that yielded vessel unto the Lord. We got to be that holy vessel. And then we can see reality. There's reality in the word of God. So this cycle is endless. Striving after the wind. Striving after things that we can't even attain, most of us. The body wears out. Some people drive themselves crazy. There was a lawyer, he was so smart, and he had so much work to do because he was brilliant. He would have to go, he would feel himself losing his mind, and he would have to check himself into a mental institution. Go and take a break and take time off. He wasn't saved, though. But he'd have to take time off. So God has given the prophet some time off, time away, time of quiet. The focus is not on him. But people look up to prophets. People look up to prophets more so sometimes than God. Most of the time they're looking up to people, pastors. You know, we talk about it all the time. And so now God want to get the prophet alone just with him, just like he did with Moses. Moses stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. God had Moses all to himself 40 years before the ministry started. That's a long time, and yet we don't want to wait a day. We don't want to wait a week. We don't want to wait 24 hours before we jump into something. Mm-hmm. We don't want to get before the Lord and wait on the Lord. So the prophet goes there. He doesn't really know why God tells him to get away. Go from here. Don't we have to go from the things that we are doing every day? Don't we have to go away, steal away with God? We haven't been on a sabbatical in a while, but it was so good on the sabbatical. You're away from family, just like you were away in the military, but you had somebody screaming at you and giving you these orders. Well, God gives us orders, too, when we just be still. He'll give us, Apostle was talking about the assignments yesterday, that we are called and we are sent. Amen? Amen. But God will give us our assignments. I just love, love, love that message. I'm going to save that one and teach from it. Glory be to God. And thank God it's recorded, because I will definitely teach from that when we have some Bible studies, upcoming Bible studies. But listen, so God gets this prophet away. Look, you got to go. And he listens. He knows God. He listens for God. He's an obedient servant. He needs time away now. And God's going to show him, and he's showing up in this word today. I'll take care of you. There's a drought. Everybody else is starving. Everybody else is thirsty, without water, starving. But you will be fed by the raven. Hallelujah. God is able to defy the law of nature. Nobody else is. No scientist, no professional, no so-called genius can defy any laws of nature that God has created. Only God can do that, and he did it. Life under the sun is so dreadfully, and what the man of God is saying, what Solomon is saying, is unchangingly boring. And we're looking for excitement. That's why we go to these movies. That's why people are looking at porno. That's why people are running to the internet for everything, because life is boring. But those times, it can be boring. Those times that we're spending on Facebook and here and there, we could be spending with God. We can be spending with others and doing something for others. And stop trying to satisfy a void that's there only because we don't have the Lord like we should, or we don't have him at all. Amen? So to put it blunt, to be blunt and candid, life on this earth without God is the pit. It is the actual pit, Bishop. And if I may repeat my point, as he does numerous times in the book of Ecclesiastes. You know, you're probably wondering, oh, Apostle, why are you going there? I'm going here because it's necessary for this lesson. That's the way God designed it. He made it like that. He made us to have this void in us. He placed within us this thing, this void that only he can fill. Nobody else can fill it. Until he is there, nothing, I say nothing, is going to satisfy us without God. Only God can satisfy. My God. Oh, my God. Are you satisfied today? Do you know the Lord? If you really know God, you are a satisfied man or a satisfied woman, even a girl and a boy. Hallelujah. You got some children that's serious about God's word.
Amen.
Preaching already.
Amen.
Prophesying already. And we'll check an adult.
Oh, yeah.
They'll check you.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
They talk about brutal.
Yeah.
They're all brutal because they don't even know how to lie. They don't practice lying like grown folk practice lying.
They come
right out with it. You lie in front of them, they're going to expose you.
Yeah.
Oh, Mama said to tell you that she wasn't here.
Uh-huh.
Answer the phone. They'll answer the phone. Oh, Mama said not to tell you that she was here.
No,
Mama said to tell you that she's not here, so you can't talk to her. Mama said, Daddy said, and we watched a movie last week or so, and the little boy was listening to his grandmother talking about his daddy. And she wasn't saying all the greatest things about his daddy. She was talking about some things that he do that's not right. So someone visited the house, and she was patting her son and telling him how great she thinks he is. You know, this is my son, and he does this. He's such a great son, blah, blah, blah. And that little boy said, but Grandma, you were just telling Miss So-and-so that my daddy was terrible. He was doing this, and he wasn't doing that. Grandma. She said, boy, you shut up. Stop talking about what you hear me talk about. Get out of here, you know. But this is a child. And that's why God said, come to me as little children.
Wait.
Because the little children are innocent.
If you didn't tell me about somebody who was ugly.
Yeah.
It was ugly at the church or something.
No, we were in a grocery store.
Oh, okay.
And the lady was being friendly with Peter. You know, when you see a cute little baby, oh, that little boy, he's so beautiful. And she was trying to, you know, she was talking to him. And she said, you're such a handsome, beautiful little boy. He said, and you're so ugly. Oh, my. I was so embarrassed. I couldn't tell her. I said, ma'am, I'm so sorry. She said, I understand. He's just a child. Peter had just begun to talk. And then when we gone somewhere, he would look at people and say, look at her. Look at her. Mama, look at that lady's feet. Look at that lady's feet. We were on a bus one day. He was looking at that lady's feet. It was so dirty and so horrible looking. He said, Mama, look at that lady's feet. Loud on the bus. But anyway, just to show you that children, we know that children are brutally frank. And we need to be truthful about things. We don't have to just outright, you know, just try to embarrass people, but don't look at somebody's hair and you know the hairstyle is terrible looking and it don't look good on them. Don't tell them, why you like my hair? Oh, it's beautiful. And then turn around and say, that stuff looks terrible. I don't know why she did her hair like that. Just tell her, you know, I used to like the way your hair was, how you did your hair. I like it the last time, but that was more becoming or something like that, but we don't have to tell a lie and then turn around and talk about it. But anyway, let's move on because we got to leave.
That man to salvation, just the plan stole his wife, just the word stumble.
Yeah, tell the truth about it. It's not good. I'm sorry. I didn't enjoy it or whatever. But don't lie or don't say anything. Better not to say anything than to tell a lie.
People love to say, well, how you like it?
So anyway, Solomon had everything. But what he was saying, all that he had meant nothing compared to the things that he received of God.
Oh, yeah.
It's nothing. Hallelujah. So in verse 2, it is getting close. Amen. Obedience, obeying the word of God is what Elijah did. He did leave. And because it's important to Elijah to please God, and it should be important to us to please God. And so Elijah is comfortable with communication. We're receiving communication from the Lord. Hallelujah. It shows his faithfulness and his obedience. This also teaches us that we have to have ears to hear. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We must apply the truth. Got to break a minute.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. So we got to obey and be sensitive to the truth, to the word of God. Obey and go in the direction in which God is taking us. Hallelujah. This is what the prophet did. He was a man that had spent time along with God, and he was prepared. God kept him prepared. In other words, he had ears to hear, and he obeyed the commands of God, even though he might not or may not have. He didn't understand that command. He didn't know why, and we don't see in the word that he even asked God, why are you sending me away? But he went. That's what's important. So disobedience to the truth has an opposite effect. Everything turned out positive for Elijah because he was obedient to the voice of God, obedient to the truth of the word. But the opposite of it is it hardens our hearts and it closes our ears when we're disobedient. It can be a killer of the plans of God for our lives. It can be a killer as to how well we can hear God. Or not totally kill it, but dull the hearing, dull our eyesight, dull our spiritual eyesight, dull our spiritual hearing. When we don't respond in a positive way to the work and the ministry that God is calling us to. Apostle, you inspired me yesterday to do this. You inspired me. That inspiration came from God. Hallelujah. And I had been looking at this, but I didn't know what we were going to do. So in Mark chapter 6, verse 52, because they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. See, we don't understand some things, and because we don't understand, God is saying our hearts are hardened, and we can't receive, or we do receive without thought. We receive without thankfulness. We receive, you know, without going back and giving back. We receive, but we don't go back to give. We just take. That's what I'm getting. We just take, and we don't give back. You know, the loaves that God gave, the loaves that he said, the multitude, those that he gave was miraculous. It was miraculous. And with no thought they ate, with no thought they took, with no thought they went away, you see. But we have to think about it. Look at what he just did. From a little boy's lunch, he fed the multitude, over 5,000 people and probably more when you count the women and the children. Hallelujah. So people often complain about how hard it is to know the lead of God. The problem is not God's leading. He is always ready to lead us, just like he led the prophet to where he wanted him to go for his purpose, for the plan, because the prophet would have much more to do along the way. The problem is our listening. Our listening is hindered by our own selfish motives and our own selfish expectations. Amen? We want the Lord to answer things in our way. We want him to even change the word for us, but he's not. God is not going to change. He's the same forevermore. Yesterday and forevermore. Yesterday, today, and forever, God is the same. We want the Lord to answer us the way we want. We want God's blessings on our will, what we want to do, rather than his will to be done, rather than seeking his will. So we make up our own list of our to-dos list, what we want to do, what we like and what we don't like. But we have to look to God and look into his word and see how it is he wants us to serve him. We have to become servants. We have to. And then we must present our life to the Lord and give it all up to him for his approval. We have to be looking for his approval and not the approval of man. It's about God. We say it all the time. What the Lord will now tell Elijah was most likely not what he was expecting. After all, he was a prophet, right? And he had to come. He came to Israel to be the mouthpiece of the Lord. He was there to serve, to preach, to perform miracles, and to be active for the Lord, right? Well, please see here that the Lord didn't tell Elijah to do any of these things. The command that follows is interesting. And you wonder why he takes the prophet away. So one of the greatest things that we can learn from this is that we got to go away with God. Bishop, we got to go away with God. We got to go on a rendezvous with him. You know, look at the word as an adventure, a place of learning, a place of, in a time of feeding us, you know. And it's just like when a raven is bringing the food to this prophet. That's how God feeds us. He's not actually feeding us with the raven, right? But he's feeding us through these words. Hallelujah. The words on this in this book, it comes alive to us. The word of God is sufficient. We're not supposed to be self-sufficient. We're supposed to be God-sufficient. He's the almighty, everlasting God, almighty, all-sufficient God, dependent, God-dependent, hallelujah, relying upon God, hallelujah. People today work hard to achieve. Many people are workaholics. They work for hours and hours and hours and not give God 5 minutes, not even 5 minutes. Wake up and get right back into the rat race, go to bed with work on their mind, wake up with work on their mind. Okay, thank you, Apostle. So we've been bitten with gotta stay active, like a mosquito bites you and you feel it, but we're getting bitten. We don't even know. We're getting bit. Go do this. Go do that. We see things in the store, materialism. Gotta have it, gotta have it. You got a 60-inch TV, but I gotta get an 80-inch. You got a nice car, but now I want a Mercedes. It's okay to have those desires. But it should not be greater than what God has for us to do, greater than what we have to give to God. Hallelujah. So 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 3, and we're moving right along. He says, I say again, go away from here, turn eastward, hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. The brook Cherith, or the Ravine, Cherith, was one of the many ravines that emptied its waters into the Jordan from the mountains to the east. There's water there. Elijah was commanded to go from Samaria to turn eastward across the Jordan and hide there. God is protecting his servant too. Remember, this is God. He's got a plan. Sherith means a cutting away, a place cut by some type of catastrophe like an earthquake or something like that. By years of water flowing down from the hills to the Jordan. You see, so there are many brooks in this area to which Elijah could have been sent, but only one that was called by this name. So we have to make a note here. Paris means a cutting away. So what is that saying spiritually? He was being separated from the people. Mm-hmm. God is going to cut him away. God is going to do some cutting at this time. It's another word for it is being used of divorce, cutting away, separated from. So Elijah, why is he sent to this place of cutting? Some think it was for protection from Ahab, as I read. Perhaps it was part of it was because the primary reason was because later God would send Elijah to face the king, and the king, but he did, but the king made no attempt to slay him. God prepared the man of God. Let's see, 1 Kings chapter 18. Y'all, I pray y'all enjoy this. This is so good to me. When Ahab saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is it really you, the one who brings disaster on Israel?" Elijah replied, "I have not brought disaster on Israel, but you and your father's dynasty have by abandoning the Lord's command and following the God of Baal." So he will in chapter 18, as we, you know, we'll go to chapter 18 another time. But I just wanted to show that God had something else. He was preparing Elijah to face this king, and God had to get him away. So let's move on here. David prayed, Psalm 17 and 8, "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings." You see, he was being hidden in the shadow of the wings of God, taken away from everybody and everything. Thank you, Jesus. So there's a challenge for this man of God. He's by himself. He's not by himself, though, because God is with him. Hallelujah. There are four different things that's going to happen that's going to be a result of God taking this man of God. He's going to be tested. He's going to get the test of God's guidance. Amen. So we're going to talk about that. The next time when we come, we're going to still be on this subject. Like I said, we're going to probably do some more. So again, we have to go to boot camp. We have to go to training. We have to be stripped away. But we got to lose any rebellion that may be in our hearts. See, the prophet didn't have any rebellion. Now, we're going to get back into more of Elijah next time we come. But we're still talking about the same subject. And that subject is called training days. We got to know, in order for us to grow in God, we're going to have these training days. If we want the promotion, we have to step with God's guidance. No other way are we going to be promoted in God. Hallelujah. You go from high school to college, from college to the master's, from the master's to the doctorate if you want to go that far. So we can go as far as we desire, as far as we desire. God will give us more wisdom. God will give us more understanding if we just be still and know he's God. Be still. Wait on God. So we learn how to follow orders, just like in the military, from a superior without question. Because if you question that superior, you're going to get in trouble. And how many times do we question authority? How much do we disrespect authority? We even must respect those leaders that God has given us into our lives. Moses had an Aaron, a Joshua. Moses was the leader, so I'll say Aaron had Moses, and Joshua had Moses, Elijah had Elijah. See what I'm saying? God gives us people for our lives. He doesn't just send us out there. We have Apostle Linda, James. We have Apostle Callum. See, before we came to know him through the Lord, we were despondent about ministry. Terrible things had happened to us. We were so misused and abused. We had some church hurts. We had good times, too. We had good people that we had met along the way and still know them, still have respect for them. But we came in contact with some folks who were selfish. God help them. God keep them in the name of Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord.
I still pray for my sisters. I really do. And I love them. Love our sisters and our brothers. But we were separated because God did that. But he allowed us to go through that training, go through those days of training so that we will be here where we are now. See, we went through to get to this place where we are. So we have an apostle, James and Linda. God gives us who we need. We have our sister, the prophetess, Millie Jefferson. I call her my pastor, too. I learn from this woman of God. You have to have people that you can learn from. God will send you those people. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So Elijah had Elijah, and we all have God to learn from. We go to God first, and when we put God first, like Elijah did, like Moses did, like Apostle does, like my husband does, like Bishop does, he's always ready to give to the Lord. Y'all don't hear him. He's not so vocal all the time, but I can tell you he'd be on his knees for hours. He'd be on his knees. He'd be praying. He'd stay longer in prayer than I do. I'm sleeping and he's praying. He's covering the house. He's covering his friends. He's covering his neighborhood. This man of God sitting here by me. And I thank God for him. Hallelujah. I thank God for all the men of God, Deacon Frazier, and all of you who are doing the will of the Father. But we have to go deeper. We must go deeper in the Word of God. And God will use us to do things that will just totally have us. Oh, my God. God is so awesome. It's like, wow. Like I said before, y'all know I always say God has the wow factor. We don't. That wow factor comes from God. But we got to let go of our ego. Hallelujah. Let go of the pride. Let go of anything that would hinder us from doing the will of the Father. So the training, with the training comes the discipline and the pressures that the soldier in the army of the Lord will grow stronger, more disciplined, and more mature. He is transformed. We are all transformed from just a common man into a battle-ready soldier. Hallelujah. Amen. You might say that the training is much like enrolling into a training program in this Bible. This is what it is. The Bible is what we need for our lives to grow. Hallelujah. To learn, to grow. To give back, to learn and to know and to give as we learn. Hallelujah. The soldier learns much in this Bible. Hallelujah. He learns that it's essential to be trained by the Lord. Hallelujah. God has a place that each of his children got to pass through. You know, I say all the time, Apostle, God has passed this way before. I got to go through, but God already went through. Jesus Christ passed our way on the road to Calvary. He passed our way. This journey, this road, Jesus already walked it. Hallelujah, glory to God. So he's passed this way before. And we have to decide that Lord, train me. Lord, I need you to train me. Lord, I need you to teach me. I need you to guide me all the way, God. Elijah is about to get some more training in this scripture. When we think of Elijah, we think of him. That's the one that went up in the chariot of fire. That's the one who stood on Mount Carmel with a great victory on Mount Carmel. Hallelujah. So I think we need to be reminded today that before we can be trusted to stand on the mountain, get on the mountaintop, we must first have an experience of a dry brook. Uh-huh. What am I trying to say? What are you trying to say, Apostle? The truth is that before God can use us as servants, he must train us. Before he can use us, he trains us, and then he continues to train us. Hallelujah. He can use us greatly before men, but he got to break us before himself. We got to be broken. Surely every child of God today wants to be used. All of us have that desire. We want to be used by God. We want to be used by God. We want to help people. Most of us have it in our heart. You know, when we come to the Lord, we have love for people. We want to be used by people. God want to use us, but he got to train us. He got to train us. We got to pass through. We got to go through. There are lessons that we got to learn. There are courses that we have to have. Each Bible chapter is a course. If we take each chapter and study each chapter, you can say that's another course you went through, another course. And if you study all 66 books, you still got more to learn. There's always more revelation knowledge. Glory to God. Got to pause a minute. Vincent, keep calling me. Oh. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, Vincent.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Apostle, I'm going to have to leave now. Glory to God. But I will be back. Whatever you say, it's okay to come back. And Bishop, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for this word, Lord. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. There's so much more to learn from this chapter. And Father God, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful, God, that we are here and that we have heard, I pray, your word. And I pray that we have learned something today. I know I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And Bishop, go ahead. Apostle, I'm going to leave now, and Bishop is going to take, he's going to do the prayer of salvation.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Thank
you. We'll be back whenever you say so.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, for those who have never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, now is the opportunity. Please accept him. I beg you to accept Jesus as your Savior, for we know not when our soul will be required by the Lord. So if you've backslidden or you have never received Jesus as your Savior, now is the time to do it, because the wages of sin is death, eternal death, and we all fall short of God's glory, and he knew them. So he gave the way out through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, beginning at verse 8, and it says, well, what does it say? Salvation is near you. It's in your mouth, so you must speak it out loud. And if you believe that Christ died for your sins, all you have to do is say, Father, I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and I'm a sinner, and I want to be saved today. Oh, God, accept me as I am, humble. Accept me. And you must believe in your heart. speak it out with your mouth so the enemy will know that you won't be with Jesus. If you make this confession, I confess that Jesus died for my sins and that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. Simple as that. That's Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. Now, your next step is to be baptized, which is in the book of, oh, by the way, you must repent of all your sins. Must repent, not returning to your old ways. Now, in the book of Acts, it tells you we have to be baptized. For the remission of our sins, it's only through Jesus Christ that we can get to heaven. So, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, at verse 38, it says, Peter said to them, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall be saved. And if you made that your confession, hallelujah, and you want to invite everyone to your graduation, or you're graduating from being unsaved to being saved.
What? That's for you.
Okay, and thank you, Apostle. Congratulations to everyone who has received Jesus as their Savior. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, we're going to come back with a part two of this lesson. And so we're going to tell everyone good evening, good day, and God bless each and every one of you. In Jesus' name. Apostle, it's back to you, sir, and we're on our way. We'll talk to you later. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Is anybody on the line? I see folk are there. Apostle had to go out. She had an appointment. I had to step off the line for a second there to straighten out some things. But glory to God. We thank God for that word. Apostle, it was a powerful word. I know she got to go. And Father, we just thank you for the word that you have given us today, and thank you for all those that came on and heard the word. We know it will be greater when she has time. So right now, no one wants to respond, so we're going to just pray and close out. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for the word that you have given us today. And we truly were blessed by the word. And our Father, we ask to give them traveling mercy as they travel today. As they travel to go take care of some situations, Lord, let all go in their favor. These are your children, your son and your daughter, your ambassadors in this earth realm. So, Father, we pray for favor for them right now as they go forth this day. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we ask for blessing for all those that came on to hear the word. Bless us in the city. Bless us in the field. Bless us when we come, O God, and bless us when we go. Father, we are praying now that you'll continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you'll set us above and not beneath, that you will make us the lenders and not the borrowers. And Father, we are not praying for blessings to come so that we can be braggadocious or we can act like we're more important than others. But we are praying for the blessings to come, oh Father God, that we can be a help to those that are less fortunate than us, oh God, that we can help the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, the homeless, and the widows. Father, we thank you now in advance. We thank you now in advance for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do, Lord Jesus. Lord, we can do nothing without you, but we can do all things as you continue to strengthen us. And Father, we thank you. We praise you, O God, for the anointing. We praise you, O God, for the word that you have released today in our ear gates, O God. We just bless your name. We praise your name, and we glorify your name. Holy Spirit, have your way today. As we leave this line, but not your presence, we ask that you continue to be with us. Help us as we go through this day in all that we say and all that we do, Lord. Let it bring glory to your name. Let it bring honor to your name. And Father, we are careful. We are careful to give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Just remember to tell someone that God loved them, you loved them, and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you speak today in somebody's ear gate that will make all the difference in their lives. It may stop someone from committing suicide. It may stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, or even sodomizing a child. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remember to tell them that God loved them and you loved them. So important. We love you guys so much, and we thank God for your presence. Every time you get a chance that you come on in fellowship with us, we are so blessed to have you as part of what God is doing here, because we are family one to another, and we are helpers one to another. I know I can tell without any equivocations that I can't do this without you. I can't do it without you. You know, I'm dealing with folk in Africa and India and China and Japan and Pakistan, Afghanistan, all over the world. So I need you to encourage me, to help me to do what I'm doing. Understand? I was just talking to a young lady in Kenya this morning. You know, everybody needs help. Everybody needs help. And David is praying. I am praying for blessings to come in so that I truly can be a help to folk. You know, I'm working on this job that's taking a turn on my body because it's a hard work. And I'm not as young as I used to be. So it pulls a lot on me. But we're thanking God. We are truly thanking God for giving me the strength that he gives to me to be able to do what I'm doing. Hallelujah. I'm not going up there today, though. I told the lady I'm not coming today. I'm going to rest my body today. I wanted to put a shock on my truck today. I got one last problem on my truck that I have to solve. But it is, it seems like I had to buy a computer for $300 in order to find the problem, you know. And I mean, it may sound like a lot of money, but Cadillac was charging me like $3,000, over $3,000 to work on my truck. But we thank God that God give me some wisdom. You know, if you every time you get a problem, you run to the dealership would study take you to the cleaners. Because they figure you don't know no better. You know, but what I do is that I buy the computer, and now that computer will last me till I leave here. And then my son can use the computer if he's still alive, or one of my grandchildren. But we thank God for you all and praise God for you all. I am just going to lay down here and read right now. Because Pastor and Bishop is gone. They're going out. She has an appointment today, so we thank God for that. So you all have a blessed day. We hope to see you all tomorrow. Lord's willing, we'll be back here tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.